Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, simple living. Good day, good people. I'm Robert Farrell. This is Coalesce. Thank you for joining me. Coalesce is grounded in both and thinking, heart wisdom, and listening for the common good arising in dialogue, where we are present to presence. Coalesce provides an opportunity to encounter and discover the multiple perspectives that make our beautiful community. May we see with the eyes of our heart. May we love one another with peace and compassion. May all beings come to know the divine presence within. This is episode 22, Everything is Holy, One Wholeness. Most religious searches begin with one massive misperception. People tend to start by making a very unfortunate, yet understandable, division between the sacred and the profane worlds. Early stage religion focuses on identifying sacred places, sacred time, and seemingly sacred actions that then leaves the overwhelmingly majority of life unsacred. People are told to look for God in certain special places and in particular events, usually, it seems, ones controlled by the clergy. Perhaps this is related to the clergy's need for job security, which is also only natural. Early stage religion has limited the search for God to a very small field, and thus it is largely ineffective, unless people keep seeing and knowing at larger levels. In true Christian mysticism, there is finally no distinction between sacred and profane. The whole universe and all events are sacred, doorways to the divine, especially for those who know how to see. In other words, everything that happens is potentially sacred if you allow it to be. Our job as humans is to make admiration of reality and adoration of God fully conscious and intentional. Then everything is a prayer and an act of adoration. As the French friar Eloude Le Clour beautifully paraphrased St. Francis, "If we but knew how to adore, we could travel through the world with the tranquility of the great rivers, but only if we know how to adore." For those who have learned how to see fully, everything, absolutely everything, is spiritual. This eventually and ironically leads to what Lutheran mystic Dietrich Bonhoeffer called religionless Christianity. Bonhoeffer saw that many people were moving beyond the scaffolding of religion to the underlying and deeper Christian experience itself. Once we can accept that God is in all situations, and that God can and will use even bad situations for good, then everything and everywhere becomes an occasion for good and an encounter with God. God's plan is so perfect that even sin, tragedy, and painful deaths are used to bring us to divine union, just as the cross was meant to reveal. God wisely makes the problem itself part of the solution. That's good news. It is all a matter of learning how to see rightly, fully, and therefore truthfully. There's a story of a dear teenage daughter's last moments dying from cancer as she lovingly said goodbye. The family was ecstatic with tears and joy through profound faith and hope in eternal life and infinite love. This experience, standing on the threshold of death with their loved one, likely did more long-lasting good for that family than years of formal religious education. The result is religionless Christianity, which ironically might be the most religious of all. Saint Bonaventure wrote, "Christ has something in common with all creatures. With the stone he shares existence, with the plants he shares life, with the animals he shares sensation, and with the angels he shares intelligence. Thus all things are transformed in Christ, since in the fullness of his nature he embraces some part of every creature." There is no other teacher who takes the vision of Francis and Claire to the level of a total theology and philosophy, a fully symmetrical worldview, as well as Bonaventure of Italy. As Paul did for Jesus, so Bonaventure did for Saint Francis. Bonaventure's vision is positive, mystic, cosmic, intimately relational, and largely concerned with cleaning the lens of our perception and our intention. With this awareness, we can see that God is with us in everything we experience in life and can be found in and through everything, even and often most especially our limits and our suffering, because in those states we long for meaning and purpose so desperately. Bonaventure was profoundly Trinitarian in that his framework for reality was love itself, always and forever flowing, overflowing, and filling all things in one exclusively positive direction. He called the Trinitarian God a fountain fullness of love. Reality is always in process and fully participatory, and it is love itself, and not a mere platonic world or abstract idea or a static impersonal principle. God as Trinitarian flow is the blueprint and pattern for all relationships and thus all of creations, which we now know from atoms to circulatory systems to ecosystems and galaxies is exactly the case. Bonaventure's vision logic, as Ken Wilber would call it, and the lovely symmetry of his theology can be summarized in what Bonaventure named the three great truths: emanation, exemplarism, and consummation. Emanation, we come forth from God, bearing the divine image. Our very DNA is found in God. Exemplarism, everything, the entire chain or nest of being, is an example and illustration of the one God mystery in space and time, by reason of its origin, magnitude, multitude, beauty, plentitude, activity, and order. And consummation, we return to the source from which we came. The Omega is the same as the Alpha, and this is God's supreme and final victory. Let us take this moment to connect with the DNA, the mystery, the source. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. Saint Bonaventure took the spiritual intuition of Francis of Assisi and made it into a theology. He taught that there are three books from which we learn wisdom. 1, the book of creation. 2, the book of Jesus and Scripture. And 3, the book of experience. He also taught that there are three pairs of eyes. The first pair of eyes sees all things as a fingerprint or footprint of God, which evokes foundational respect and teachability. The second pair of eyes are the hard work of honest self-knowledge, which is awareness of how you are processing your reality moment by moment. This is necessary to keep your own lens clean and open, and is the work of your entire lifetime. The third pair are the eyes of contemplation, which allow you to see things in their essence and in their core meaning. Only then can you receive the transmitted image of God on your soul. Deep calls unto deep, as the psalmist says, Psalm 42:7, and all outer images can then mirror and evoke your own inner divine image. This is really quite brilliant and simple. In his book, The Soul's Journey into God, St. Bonaventure says we must begin at the bottom, presenting ourselves to the material world, seeing it as a mirror through which we may pass through to God, the supreme craftsman. He teaches that to really see things, we must recognize in all material things their origin, their process, and their end. Everything comes from God, exemplifies God, and then returns to God. Elio Delio, Keith Douglas Warner, and Pamela Wood explain how this Franciscan spirituality leads to caring for creation. Quote, "The life of Francis shows us that to appreciate the book of creation, we must come to know ourselves as creatures of God and as creatures of creation. Without self-knowledge, there can be no real knowledge of creation as our home and the womb of our birth. Without the human person to give voice to creation, to celebrate its giftedness and sacredness, creation becomes mute and vulnerable to manipulation. The key to creation's holiness, therefore, is in human identity, who we are in our Creator, the Trinity of divine love. This identity is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the Word in whom we are made flesh. If God is alive in us, as God was in Francis, then we are alive to the world of God's good creation. However, if God is dead in us, then we are dead to the deeper meaning of creation as well. Francis realized that God humbly bends low in love and hides in simple, ordinary, fragile beings. So too, we must realize that God is in our midst. Only when we can recognize creatures for what they are, expressions of God's overflowing love, can we recognize the source of our own lives as well. The love that gave birth to all creatures is the same love that has brought us into existence. This is what Francis realized, the luminous web of God's love revealed in Jesus Christ. We are called to live in this luminous web of love. End quote. John Duns Scotus was a 13th century philosopher, theologian, who in many ways paralleled Bonaventure's ideas and also developed the doctrine of the univocity of being. Up to that point, the philosopher said God was a being, which is what most people still think today. Both Thomas Aquinas and John Duns Scotus said Deus est ens, God is being itself. The Dominican said everything other than God participated in being only by analogy and by attempts to make connections, but it was not really the same being as God's being. Yet John Duns Scotus believed that we can speak with one voice, univocity, univocity of the being of waters, plants, animals, humans, angels, and God. We all participate in the same being. God is one, Deuteronomy 6:4, and thus reality is one also, Ephesians 4:3-5. This gives us a foundation for understanding the sacredness of everything and our connection with everything. We are already connected to everything, inherently, objectively, metaphysically, ontologically, and theologically. We don't create the connection by going to church or reading the Bible, although we hopefully enliven the connection. In Francis's worldview, we begin with original blessing, as Matthew Fox rightly said. Our DNA is already divine. That is why we naturally seek to know and love God. There has to be a little bit of something inside you for you to be attracted to it. Like knows like. You are what you are looking for. John Duns Scotus' idea, univocity of being, is universally attractive and meaningful. Without using that exact term, Master Teacher Thich Nhat Hanh shows how it is the key to the health of the planet, as well as to reconciliation and peace. Quote, "We have to look deeply at things in order to see them. When a swimmer enjoys the clear water of the river, he or she should also be able to be the river." If we want to continue to enjoy our rivers, to swim in them, walk beside them, even drink their water, we have to adopt the non-dual perspective. We have to meditate on being the river so that we can experience within ourselves the fears and hopes of the river. If we cannot feel the rivers, the mountains, the air, the animals, and other people from within their own perspective, the rivers will die, and we will lose our chance for peace. If you are a mountain climber and someone who enjoys the countryside or the green forest, you know that the forests are our lungs outside of our bodies, just as the sun is our heart outside of our bodies. Yet we have been acting in a way that has allowed 2 million square miles of forest to be destroyed by acid rain. And we have destroyed parts of the ozone layer that regulate how much direct sunlight we receive. We are imprisoned in our small selves, thinking only of the comfortable conditions for this small self, while we destroy our larger self. We should be able to be our true self. That means we should be able to be the river. We should be able to be the forest, the sun, and the ozone layer. We must do this to understand and to have hope for the future. End quote. As Christians, we would say that our true self is our Christ self. Since creation is the body of God and Christ is all in all, Colossians 3:11, 1 Corinthians 15:28, the seeing that Thich Nhat Hanh describes should be natural to us. Contemplatives in all religions invariably come to the same insight because it is the deepest level of truth. Being is one. Let us take this moment to connect with the all in all. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The univocity of being gives us a philosophical foundation to what we now call the circle of life, ecosystems, unitive thinking, and mysticism itself. Our being is not just analogous or similar to God's being, but we may speak of our two supposedly different beings with one voice. From this alone, we can see that John Duns Scotus, the blessed man who coined the term, was a non-dual thinker, a contemplative. John Duns Scotus was laying a philosophical foundation for what Michael Talbot and Ken Wilber are describing as a holographic universe, where everything is a holon, H-O-L-O-N. John Duns Scotus' insight is also affirmed by Mandelbrot's discovery of fractals, the repetitive and imitative patterns found in nature, mathematics, and art. We literally see the part contains the whole or replicates the whole, and yet each part still has a wholeness within itself. This appreciative accumulation is what makes any whole, whole, W-H-O-L-E. We now believe such wholeness is true physically, biologically, and spiritually, and can even be seen as a basic for understanding mystical union. It implies that there is an inherent sympathy between God and all created things, and between the other 10,000 things too. The 10,000 things is a Taoist and Zen expression for everything that exists. All things, every human, creature, and even human-made objects, are somehow manifestations of formlessness. In this view, we don't need to grade or classify things as good or bad, valuable or worthless. God can use everything to teach, delight, help, and challenge us. Each of us replicates the whole, and yet has a certain wholeness within ourselves. But we are never entirely whole apart from connection with the larger whole, W-H-O-L-E. Holons, H-O-L-O-N-S, create a very fine language for what I call the mystery of participation, for understanding how holiness transmits and how God's life is an utterly shared phenomenon. If you try to be holy, H-O-L-Y, if you try to be holy alone, you are not holy at all. Salvation is not a divine transaction that takes place because you are morally perfect, but much more is an organic unfolding of becoming who you already are, an inborn sympathy with and capacity for the very one who created you. Each being is both a part that is like the whole, W-H-O-L-E, and yet also contributes to the whole. Just as Paul teaches in his analogy of the body, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 30, this is the basis for the inherent dignity of everything and the foundation for all nonviolence. Sadly, as we can see, the world we live in today has very little sense of this wonderful wholeness, and therefore of holiness and nonviolence. Contemplative spirituality emphasizes a real equivalence, symbiosis, and mutuality between the one who sees and what can be seen. Francis of Assisi had a unique ability to call others, animals, plants, and elements, brother and sister, because he himself was a little brother. He granted other beings and things subjectivity, personhood, and dignity because he first honored his own dignity as a son of God, although it could be the other way around too. The world of things is a transparent two-way mirror, which some of us would call a fully sacramental universe. All being can correctly be spoken of with one voice, univocity, as John Duns Scotus put it. What I am, you also are, and so is the world. Creation is one giant symphony of mutual sympathy. Or as Augustine said, in the end, there will only be Christ loving himself. To get this 3D vision, I must know that I am, at least in part, the very thing I am seeking. In fact, that is what makes me seek it. But most do not know this good news yet. God cannot be found out there until God is first found in here, within ourselves. As Augustine profoundly expressed in his Confessions in many ways, then we can almost naturally see God in others and in all of creation too. What you seek is what you are. The search for God and the search for our true self are finally the same search. Francis' all-night prayer, "Who are you, O God, and who am I?" is such a perfect prayer because it is the most honest and always true prayer we can continue to offer. A heart transformed by this realization of oneness knows that one love in here can spot and enjoy love out there. Fear, constriction, and resentment are seen by spiritual teachers to be an inherent blindness that must be overcome. These emotions cannot get you anywhere, certainly not anywhere good. Thus, all mystics are positive people, or they aren't mystics. Their spiritual warfare is precisely the work of recognizing and then handing over all of their inner negativity and fear to God. The great paradox here is that such a victory is a gift from God, and yet somehow you must want it very much. Philippians 2:12-13. The central practice in Christian mysticism, therefore, is that we must remain in love, which is why it is a commandment. In fact, the great commandment of Jesus. Only when we are eager to love can we see love and goodness in the world around us. We must ourselves remain in peace, and then we will see and find peace over there. Remain in beauty, and we will honor beauty everywhere. This concept of remaining or abiding, John 15:4-5, moves religion out of esoteric realms of doctrinal outer space where it has for too long been lost. There is no secret moral behavior required for knowing or pleasing God, or what some call salvation, beyond becoming a loving person in mind, heart, body, and soul yourself. Then you will see all that you need to see. Let us take this moment to abide in love. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The practice this week is titled Seeing Our Brothers and Sisters. We've explored how contemplative spirituality clears away the illusion of separateness. The contemplative mind can help us see how everything belongs to one wholeness, which we call God, Creator, Being itself. God is love. Love is the source, the sustenance, and the goal. It is indeed one sacred world. Believing and experiencing this to be true, we discover natural, though often challenging, consequences for such a unified reality. We must ask, as Francis did, "Lord, make me a channel of your peace." Thich Nhat Hanh, the renowned Buddhist peacemaker, identifies the practical need for awareness of our union. Quote, "We watch to rise above dualistic choosing of sides, to look at a conflict the same way a mother would who is watching her two children fighting. She seeks only the reconciliation. In order to fight each other, the chicks born from the same mother hen put colors on their faces. This is a well-known Vietnamese saying, putting colors on our own face is to make ourselves a stranger to our own brothers and sisters. We can only shoot others when they are strangers. Real efforts for reconciliation arise when we see with the eyes of compassion, and that ability comes when we see clearly the nature of interbeing and interpenetration of all beings. In our lives, we may be lucky enough to know someone whose love extends to animals and plants. We may also know people who, although they themselves live in a safe situation, realize that famine, disease, and oppression are destroying millions of people on earth and look for ways to help those who suffer. They cannot forget the downtrodden, even amidst the pressures of their own lives. At least to some extent, these people have realized their interdependent nature of life. They know that the survival of the underdeveloped countries cannot be separated from the survival of the materially wealthy, technically advanced countries. The fate of each country is linked to the fate of all others. When will the chicks of the same mother hen remove the colors from their faces and recognize each other as brothers and sisters? The only way to end the danger is for each of us to do so and to say to others, I am your brother. I am your sister. We are all humankind. Our life is one. End quote. The Franciscan official motto is Deus meus et omnia, my God and all things. Or as Francis might say, we are all creations of the same God, and thus life is one. Thank you for being with me. You are a creation of the same God, and thus all life is one. My God and all things. Blessings to all.